Sticking with the subject at hand, top Ukrainian officials have been in Washington, D.C. this week, attending the spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and also making the case for international support for the eventual reconstruction of their country. As our Washington-based reporter Simon Marks has been finding out, if it's hard getting some figures in the U.S. Capitol to back military assistance for Ukraine, it may be even harder to secure their support for Ukraine's reconstruction.
You are listening to a musical rendition of what Ukraine might one day look like. Back on its feet, freed from the gloom of Russia's deadly and relentless war. It is a piece of jazz called the Ukrainian Renaissance Suite, and it was recorded last autumn in Berlin by a group of musicians led by Jean-Pierre Frehley. He is more than a guitar player. He is also the top German diplomat planning the Ukraine Reconstruction Conference that will take place in Berlin in June.
Recovery is not a top-down exercise just by donors or state, but it's a multi-stakeholder approach where you have to engage lots of different players.
Mr. Frehley has spent the past week shuttling between various delegations at the World Bank and the IMF spring meetings here in Washington, preparing them for the day after in Ukraine. It's estimated that up to $1 trillion will be needed to put the country back on its feet, and he argues that process will begin in a few weeks' time in the German capital.
We will have civil society, business representatives, NGOs, gathering with political head of states and governments and also regional representatives, because we see that international partnerships on all levels are key here.
Given the scale of the ongoing conflict, there has been considerable talk here this week about the state of the Ukrainian economy and the country's ongoing requests for military assistance. $60 billion of fresh aid from the US remains stuck in Congress amid opposition from Trump-backed Republicans. But on the economic front, the IMF offered Kyiv a relatively positive review. Julie Kozak is the fund's director of communications.
The Ukrainian economy continues to show remarkable resilience. Risks related to the ongoing war and delays in external financing remain exceptionally high. Timely and predictable external financing is critical for sustaining the hard-earned economic gains.
Among Ukrainian officials in Washington this week to hear that message, the country's Prime Minister, Denis Shmyhal. He has split his time here, on the one hand focusing on additional military assistance that the White House says will be critical in determining the outcome of the war, but on the other hand accentuating the need to prepare for his country's eventual reconstruction.
The main resource for Ukraine's recovery should be Russian state assets frozen in Western countries. This is about $300 billion. We will not just win the war, but we should win the peace. By rebuilding our country, it's clear for all of us.
He knows it will not be easy forcing Russia to pay the costs for the destruction it has wrought on Ukraine. There will be enormous legal hurdles for Western countries to overcome, even if they try to use Moscow's frozen assets to foot the bill. But the Prime Minister, who met with leaders of US private sector firms, was emphasizing the opportunities that he says will one day exist to assist in Ukraine's recovery and make money out of it at the same time.
Support of United States is not charity. This is absolutely pragmatic idea to support Ukraine and support United States producers. This is like both beneficial story for supporting to each other.
That argument is designed to counter the critique of Ukraine's detractors in the United States, many of whom are on the right of Donald Trump's Republican Party. They are not only implacably opposed to sending more military assistance to Kyiv, they also don't care much for the idea of nation building once the war is over.
The U.S. is focusing on it so much past our national interest.
Dr. Shea Bradley Farrell heads the Counterpoint Institute, a non-profit organization that seeks to amplify conservative voices in America's foreign policy debate. She argues the U.S. has done more than enough to help Ukraine at the cost of paying attention to what she argues are more urgent problems at home, including the immigration crisis on America's southern border.
We have given the largest foreign assistance package, Simon, since the end of World War II and the Marshall Plan already to Ukraine. We have to also have some sort of balance on this because we have a real obsession right now with pouring money into Ukraine. We have serious problems at home that I want our Congress and our administration to focus on.
Not all Republicans agree, and at the think tank operated by former President George W. Bush in Dallas, Texas, you can find a different viewpoint.
It is really not assistance for Ukraine. It's for the United States' own industrial and defense base, which frankly have degraded.
Igor Krestin is the Bradford M. Freeman Director of Global Policy at the George W. Bush Institute.
This reconstruction is not going to be a burden. There's quite a bit of opportunity in Ukraine for America's private sector companies and others around the world to partake in the reconstruction projects. Ukraine has its own agency, Ukrinvest, that is geared towards attracting private sector investment and making sure that this is not a burden on anyone's taxpayers.
Achieving that will be a gargantuan task, especially at a time when European governments are more nervous than American officials about the possibility of expropriating Russian assets to kickstart the rebuilding process. But while those conversations continue, in the world of the arts, the diplomat responsible for the Berlin Reconstruction Conference is already strumming a tune that he hopes will inspire the rest of the world to do their bit to rebuild Ukraine. For Monocle Radio, I'm Simon Marks in Washington.